No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Gather around one and all. Come sit by Grandpa Drew as he takes a walk down memory lane. We're going to go back 5 years, a little more than 5 years. Saturday, February 16th, 2019. Saturday night. Sellout crowd in downtown Winnipeg. A Winnipeg Jets team that was once the toast of the town, the talk of the league, number one overall, playing a going nowhere Ottawa Senators team, as the Ottawa Senators have been for so many years now. On that night back in 2019, one and all, kids and kidlets, the Winnipeg Jets lost 4-3 in overtime to the Ottawa Senators. Ultimately, that Winnipeg Jets team did make the playoffs, but they were bounced in six games by the St. Louis Blues. I bring that up because tonight, on Fan Appreciation Night, in front of a sellout crowd on Saturday, March the 30th, the Winnipeg Jets lost 3-2 to the Ottawa Senators. A go-nowhere Ottawa Senators team. And I tell you, one and all, after watching tonight's game, it's hard to foresee a circumstance where the Winnipeg Jets likewise do not get bounced in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I hope not.
With that, we say good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Pleased to be back in this fair city. Unfortunately, I did just spend the last 2.5 hours watching that abomination of a hockey game.
Gentlemen, yeah, well, welcome back, Drew. Yeah.
Thank you.
We're
welcome
glad to
home. This is the prize.
Yeah, exactly. That's the present that the Jets gave you tonight. I don't know how many times, boys, tonight we're going to say the word disappointing, but I'm going to use it here because, you know, this is what, Dave, the fourth sellout in a row, I believe, right? Eighth of the year. So you're, you know, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, national audience, Connor Hellebuck's 500th career game in the NHL. And you come out with that performance in front of your home crowd, just, you know, completely unacceptable. And it's, and you know, guys, the chances in the third period, right? Mark Scheifele has that unbelievable chance after Nikolai Ehlers has that speed and brings it in. And then there was the giveaway by Jonas Korpisalo. I still don't know how Scheifele didn't score there. Sean Monahan has an empty net, right? Late in the third period with the Jets on the 6-on-3. I forget if it was a 5-on-3 or a 6-on-3 at that point. It doesn't matter because the Jets didn't score. I mean, you just have to beat the Ottawa Senators at this point in the season, and especially because you're winless in your last five games, right? And yeah, the Jets are obviously still going to the playoffs. I mean, unless the Jets lose their last eight games of the year, it's not going to happen. The Jets are making the playoffs, but they're just not playing well right now. And in that first period, you know, Dave and I were at Canada Life Center for the first two periods, and then we decided we obviously had seen enough, and we decided to come back to River Heights. But no, all joking aside, I mean, we were saying to each other, like, when are the Jets going to start playing with some urgency, right? Like,
yeah,
this is a team that has been a 500 team now, guys. And I was talking to Dave about this. Since the Jets lost that game to the Boston Bruins, snapping that 34-game streak, allowing three goals or less, this has been essentially a 500 team. They're a little bit above 500. Like, I think their points percentage, Dave, is something like, you know, 52-53%.
Sure. But
you have to get at least a point in that game. But I would argue you really had to have got at least 2 points because of the Ottawa Senators and where they are in the standings. Like, forget the fact that this team has won four games in a row. I don't care. You had to win that game. And you can't play a good 30 or 40 minutes like the Jets did tonight because – the first period wasn't very good, and I didn't really like, you know, the first third or first quarter of the third period either. It wasn't really until, you know, the last 7 or 8 minutes that I thought that the Jets were playing with the requisite urgency. So just super disappointing, as I said. We're going to mention the word disappointing several times. It's a very frustrating team to watch, guys, because, you know, the team is much better than the way they're playing.
Well, I mean, you know, you are what you are. So I'm not so sure about that anymore. Early in the year, I would have wholeheartedly agreed with that, Ezzy. But to your point, exactly what you said there, you know, this has been a 500 team since that game in Boston that broke the streak, Dave. This is just inexcusable to have this kind of performance tonight on home ice against an Ottawa Senators team that has nothing to play for.
Yeah, I mean, look, we spoke about this idea of, on this morning's show, the idea of the Jets' ability to get back to having a strong defensive structure and to limit their mistakes. And unfortunately for them, and you can say you don't like the high-sticking penalty on Brendan Dillon that led to that opportunity late in the game regardless. I mean, the fact is you're in a two-all game with an Ottawa team. And look, we had Alex Adams on for the Hockey News this morning, and he talked about how loose Ottawa is playing, right? They beat the Oilers. They beat the Devils. They beat, well, the Sabres and the Blackhawks, so not exactly rip-roaring the last couple. But the fact of the matter is that Ottawa, it doesn't matter right now what happens for them, and they seem to do this every year where when they're already knocked out of the playoffs, and now this is seven straight years, that they go on a bit of a run to end the year. So it's again, like, and I'm not going to make excuses for the Jets because Ezzy's right. I mean, you can't be more amped up for Connor Hellebuyck to be playing in his 500th game, and the crowd was good. The crowd was into it. They were like, we were there, right, Ez? And like, you could hear them. They gave him a huge standing ovation. It was an extended one when it came, you know, when they did the video, let's say the 30-second video during the commercial timeout. So they play that for Connor Hellebuyck. The crowd is into it. And yet at the same time, the effort is just like, they were loose from the get-go. Opportunities, Neil Pionk doing like crazy, like their guys need to sit. I honestly think, like, I understand there's only, what is it now, 9 games left, boys, or something like that, but like this is game 74, so no, I think there's less than that now, but like, this is, if my math is correct, it's 8 games, but the eight fact games. Of the matter is that this team needs to get some guys to like really take a hard look in the mirror, because if they're going to play this way, they're not going to go far, you know, and Connor Hellebuyck can take him only so far. And again, look, I understand it. It's Saturday night and Connor Hellebuck's record against Ottawa and all that other garbage. Guys, why are you playing Connor Hellebuyck for the 5th time this week? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You have Laurent Brossoit, who is your more than guys, Laurent Brossoit, who has played, you know, how many games there Laurent Brossoit has played, Ezzy? 21. How many games did David Rittich play last year? 22. Like, that's insane. David Rittich was, like, his numbers are terrible compared to Brossoit. And I understand all that. But, like, I just don't understand the need to run Connor Hellebuyck. I'm not blaming the loss on him. It's just inexplicable decision making.
No, Hellebuyck was the only reason that game was close, really.
Sure.
And I agree with you, Dave. I thought it was going to be Laurent Brossoit. And mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the opponent. I just thought, you know, it was his turn. And like you said, that was why you brought in Brossoit. Right. Yes. Was to play more than David Rittich, because Brossoit's a better goalie. Like, yeah. We were talking about this a couple of weeks back. There's a good chance that someone's gonna give Brossoit a nice pay bump, and he's gonna be their number one goalie. Or maybe, you know, he's a 1A, 1B, whatever. The reality is people around the NHL have taken note of how well Laurent Brossoit has played. Mm-hmm. And that's not taking anything at all away from Connor Hellebuyck. And it's nice, like you said, we talked about it, you know, game number 500, which is just incredible to think that he's already played. I was saying to Dave, Drew, like 500 games for a goalie is like the equivalent of like 800 or, you know, something ridiculous for a player, not 1,000, sure. But 500 games, most NHL goalies don't even come close to playing 500 games. Right. So yeah, like this was just not the effort that you would like to see. Right. And like we talked about it earlier. Yeah. Ottawa has been winning these games that mean absolutely nothing, but we're not as concerned about with the way the Senators play. We're more concerned about, like Drew said, you were only able to muster 10 shots through the first period, or 11 shots, whatever it was.
No, 11 shots on goal through the first 35 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, and they're just, there wasn't, like, where was the aggressive forecheck? Where was the pressure tonight? Where was the sustained ozone time? Like, it just wasn't there. And we talked about it. Yeah, the Jets got a lot of chances late in the game. We talked about it. Scheifele had 2 really good scoring chances. Right. Monahan had the empty net. Obviously, you know, we're not going to pick on Monahan here. I thought he was excellent tonight, but it's not like the Jets didn't have their chances. They just didn't finish. And we keep talking about what if, what if, what if, and now they found themselves, this is 6 games now they haven't won a hockey game. This is not the time of the season, guys, where you want to start falling apart.
look, play like you played, play desperate hockey to start the game, and then the game is likely over in the first period because you're up 2 goals or 3 goals. I mean, Ottawa is not a good hockey team. Yes, they've won a number of games in a row, but I mean, let's be clear. They beat Chicago and Buffalo, which is not an accomplishment. You know, that doesn't mean anything. You know, they beat Edmonton, so, you know, strange things happen. There's one-offs here and there. Play like a desperate hockey team in the first period and you win the game. I mean, that's just that's the fact of the matter. It's not like Jonas Korpisalo, you know, had to stand on his head or anything. It's not like he was incredible.
Well, he did the last 5 minutes, but
yeah, he made some nice saves.
The first 55 minutes, Drew, I agree with you. He was not challenged very much.
So, you know, make him make those saves in the first period. Make him make those saves, you know, throughout the beginning of the game rather than the end of the game. Odds are he's going to crack.
Do you guys know how many high danger chances the Jets had at even strength in the first period?
Zero. It was 0-0. There were no high danger chances. That first period was dog bleep by both teams. Imagine paying for that garbage. I mean, that's what it was. It was a shot 6-5 in the first period, something like that. I mean, it was an awful hockey game, guys.
Actually, Drew, it was 6-5, but I believe they took away a shot, so it ended up being 6-4, if I recall correctly.
You're right, 6-4. The Jets had 4 shots in the first period after you lose, when you've lost 5 games in a row, and you're playing a team that's going absolutely nowhere, and by the way, is not very good defensively. I mean,
for the record, their PK is, as you 30th. Was it, the 30th PK?
Their power play is 26th, something like that. Bottom 10th of the league, right?
So for you to lose the game to a terrible power play, I mean, it's just the cherry on top for a team that is mired in it, to put it mildly. And of course, it is the supposed to be fan appreciation. I don't think the fans are feeling very appreciated right now based on what they will witness this evening. And
I got to say something. Jets, they did a great job. The fans were like, we were there, Dave. That was only my third game in person. As you know, I like to be a hermit in my River Heights basement, but I decided to, you know, get out of my house for the Saturday night game tonight and ride or die with Dave M.
Yep.
Loved all the giveaways. We saw that kid walking through Portage Place. He had the Josh Morrissey bobblehead. They were giving away a Jets fridge. But the most random thing is during the break, they also gave away a Barbie dollhouse. I just didn't understand. Like, I understand the Jets mini fridge and the Josh Morrissey bobbleheads, and then they gave away a Barbie dollhouse.
Maybe they were worried that the fans were bored and they wanted something to play with, because that would be the only that would be a logical explanation there.
I was just going to say, just in case folks are wondering, so that's the delay. We'll have the comments coming from head coach Rick Bowness when he speaks from the Matt Frost Media Center. But I guess. It's just
Can Marcy Lee bring me back some Dominican rum, by the way?
What I was going to say, and by the way, shout out. Let's start off with a big shout out, Ezzy, because we got to give Michael Rieger, who walked up to Ezzy and I in the concourse and said hello, said he was a big fan of the show.
Well, the best part is he sidled behind me and he's like, hey, Ez, Dave, what's going on? And I thought for sure he was like an IC regular, like I thought somebody, and he looked familiar. And then he's like, you guys don't know who I am. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Shout out to Michael. Was it Michael?
Yeah, it was Michael.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah. Nice guy. We gave us a nice little shout out, likes the show. And so, and Dancing Gabe watched the show. We told Ezzy that he watched Connor and I chit chatting today, this morning.
He was worried though, that he was asking about Drew. Is Drew back? I'm like, Drew who?
Drew who, but, indeed. That's a good answer.
No, what I was going to say, though, is that, you know, you had the fans, you had everybody excited, and there were some things that got people pumped, right? Like the Adam Lowry hit on Tim Stützle. That was an engagement, right? That was a way to get and the fans reacted.
Tim Stützle is a nice hockey player.
He's a very good hockey player. It's shocking that he only got 18. He has 18 goals and 50 assists. Like, it's amazing. He's leading the Sens in scoring.
I wouldn't be surprised if that guy scores 40 to 50 one year.
Well, I think, didn't he have like 39 last year or something? Like, he had a big number, I think, last year. But anyways, the point is that, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets the fan base excited, you know, and more importantly, we're Manitobans, 50% off of the food today in the arena. So folks were enjoying that. But I just think it's the
Stützle did have 39, by the way. I didn't realize he had that many goals last year.
Not bad. Not bad. Huh? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to claim it was my knowledge. It was actually Alex Adams, who we had on from the Hockey News this morning, who told me about the Sens and did a good preview. You can check that. Make sure you watch on our YouTube channel. But all I was going to say is, and as he can attest, because he was in the building beside me, it just didn't have that emotion that it needed for a Saturday night hockey game. That was, you wanted to see this team start on time. You needed a team to be able to set the tone. They didn't set the tone.
Right.
I thought they did with the hit by Lowry and by the announcement for Hellebuck. But like I said, it was as I jokingly tweeted from our IC account, a riveting in sarcasm, dripping with sarcasm, period of hockey. And it's disappointing based on what it should have been but what it was in reality.
Let me ask you guys this. Where does the slide stop now? I mean, this is as free a space on the bingo card as there should be. I mean, with all due respect to the Ottawa Senators, if the Jets put forth even a modicum of a reasonable effort for the entirety of the 60 minutes, not the last 8 minutes of the game only, this is a free space on the bingo card. The Jets don't do it for whatever reason, and they'll have to answer for that, within the dressing room, and I'm sure in their post-game comments to the media who are on site there. Where does this stop? You look at the schedule.
Well, hopefully it stops Monday, right?
Well, like,
Know when it's going to stop, but you got to start stringing together some wins or you're going to end up in a wild card spot.
Well, I mean, the Jets are fortunate in that Nashville loss tonight. Yeah. So, that they're still...
By the way, is that fortunate? Because aren't they still chasing Colorado?
Look, they're not going to... Yeah, they're six behind Colorado. The Jets are going to finish third in the Central at best. Yeah. It's either third in the Central or it's the wild card. They're not
catching... at that point, right?
Yeah, they're not catching Dallas and Colorado at this point in time.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen, Drew. Remember at the game... after the Jets beat the Rangers, they were still in first based on points percentage, were they not?
Yeah. Well, you lose six games in a row and it's going to do it to you. So, I mean... But you look at the schedule, and it's not like it's, this was the easiest of the remaining games. This was the easiest game that you had left. I mean, you got the only games you have against non-playoff teams from here on out are Calgary on Thursday, Minnesota, on Saturday, and Seattle, the second last game of the season. Other than that, it's all playoff teams. So this isn't, the Jets need to, it's not a matter of, I just can't believe that this was the effort they came out with tonight. I'm absolutely flabbergasted by the performance tonight.
And I don't want to add insult to injury. You're right, Drew. I don't want to add insult to injury, Dave, but I think doesn't LA have the most road wins in the conference as well? LA's a good road team. I know that. I'm pretty sure.
I remember that
21-12-4 on the road.
Yeah.
So Dallas has the most away, most road wins in the conference, but LA would be there is second along with Vancouver and the Jets.
Dallas has got 24 and LA's got 21. So I'm just saying the game on Monday is going to be a war.
Well,
the only thing I was going to say is this might be just what the doctor ordered. It may be exactly what this team needs. Something that's going to, I'm just saying we'll see. We'll see on Monday. Look, Ezzy, what was the big, I know you guys weren't on the show, but the talking point.
I watched the show live from Lac Da Bonnie though.
I appreciate that. But the talking point,
I didn't watch it.
That's fine. I hope you'll watch later. But
the
point is that Connor and I talked about the fact, and Mike, alongside Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press, we talked about the fact that this was the first time, and that may be a theme. We might have to hear about that. This is the first time this has been a healthy Jets team with their acquisitions, with Sean Monahan, with Tyler Toffoli, with Gabriel Vilardi healthy. Yeah. That may be the part of the commentary, but I do wonder if this team, if you can't get galvanized, if you can't get up to play the Pierre-Luc Dubois and the LA Kings, if you're not snarly, if you're not ready to take these guys on Monday, then it's going to be a testament. I mean, like I said, this game against the Senators, it is what it is. I'm not minimizing the Jets' effort tonight because it wasn't what it needed to be, especially in that first period. And poor mistakes in the second, but Ezzy, you and I detailed, it wasn't just because you don't get burnt by a bad mistake doesn't mean it's not notable, right? There was a play right off the hop where Neil Pionk literally turned the wrong way and essentially created a partial breakaway for the Sen. So
remember that giveaway by Mark Scheifele? I think it was
right in the first period.
Was it Drake Batherson? I thought it was Batherson. It might have been, or it could have maybe been Matthew Joseph. I forget who it was. But it was a terrible giveaway, and Hellebuck had to make a good save. right? So like, these are we always give Drew a hard time about the attention to detail, but when you are winless in your last five games, your attention to detail has to be on, right? Mm-hmm. And we just had the comment up from Chris Jets fan, and obviously, you know, he disagrees with us a little bit in the effort. I think Chris, though, would at the very least agree the effort in the first period was not adequate. I think that, you know, the Jets were the better team in the second, and I would even argue probably the better team in the third. But again, mm-hmm. you don't win hockey games at this point in the season by putting in a good 20 or 25 minutes.
Well, look, they went up 1-0, and we'll get into the Betway game recap coming up here. And the reason that the preamble is a little longer is we're still waiting on Jets head coach Rick Bowness. We'll bring that to you just as soon as we possibly can, just as soon as we see him approaching the dais in the Matt Frost Media Center. We'll cut into that. But, you know, you're up 1-0, and then what happens? You're up 1-0. Okay, great. That's good. You've had a terrible first period for both teams, but you got the first goal. So then you need to step on it even further. Instead, what happens? The Jets get sloppier. They start thinking, okay, well, fine, one goal, that's enough. We don't need to continue on. You know, I'm just absolutely shocked that this was the performance that they came out with for the majority of the
Drew. Drew, I told Dave that the Jets would win 6-0 tonight. Sorry.
You guys battled back pretty hard to get to 2-2. What are the feelings then to let it go at the end?
It's disappointing that we had to battle back to make it 2-2 to start with. Again, we're just finding ways to beat ourselves. Not enough offense for a couple of periods. It's uncharacteristic. Odd man rushes against us again. Just guys trying to do too much, or just making a bad read. It's one or the other. It's another game where we had a wide open net late to tie it up. That's back-to-back games there. Wide open nets are sitting there, and we just miss them. So it's disappointing we had a battle back.
In terms of goals they scored to put themselves up leading to that, that 4-on-1, I guess from a coach's perspective, why does that happen? You've got elite players out on the ice. There's a missed pass at the offensive blue line. It turns into a 4-on-1. And in the clips that you watch, or at least that I've been able to find, guys' feet aren't necessarily all moving to get back and fix that. It looks like there's a little bit of gliding in some cases on the way back to get to that 4-on-1 as well. I'm just wondering, from a coach's perspective, what do you make of that from such elite players?
Well, we're standing still. So anytime you're standing still and you make those plays and they're moving, you put yourself in a bad position. And again, it's just making the right read, trying to make poor percentage plays, and then it's a bad read on top of that. And it just magnifies it. Yes, so that's what it looks like.
Heading into, or partway through the third, you switched up some lines. I know penalties kind of got in the way, but it looked like you guys created a lot of chances there. What did you see from that mix-up?
Well, we lost the game, so we're just trying to generate a little bit more offense.
Rick, every season has tension. What's going to take to halt the streak and get back to what you want to do?
Well, we certainly need more from certain players, you know, individual. We do. Every team does. You need... when you're going through a stride like this, you just need more from everybody, and we're going to have to get that. It's going to have to be a little bit more desperation from the start of the game on. But again, we're just finding ways to, you know, you take a late penalty. Those things hurt you. We're finding ways to lose games, and we'll get going again, and we'll find ways to win games, and we'll get going again.
Talked about the power play a lot. What did you see from them as they snapped a lengthy drought as well?
Yeah, it was nice to see that one go in. And again, that we could have had a second one very easily. We did. We missed the net. That happens. But the power play will come around.
Rick, just on that penalty that Brendan takes, it's a battle, I guess, in front of the net. Is that one where you'd like to see him maybe rein it in a bit? Or, like, did you agree with the call? Or
It's the right call. You got to rein it in there. That's where you have to be disciplined. Yep.
You've had Connor Hellebuyck. He's played or started all five of these games over the last 8 days. Where would you evaluate, I guess, his energy levels after a real busy stretch for him?
Great. He's been wonderful. He's going to play fewer games this year than he has in the past. We've given him lots of rest. LB will be in the net on Monday night, and that's been the plan from day one. At least the least of our worries. Our goaltending is the least of our worries. We got other issues we got to fix. Thanks.
There he goes, Jets head coach Rick Bowness tonight in the Matt Frost Media Center following the Winnipeg Jets' disappointing 3-2 defeat to the Ottawa Senators. A head coach who, the big news out of it, if you want to call it big news, is that Laurent Brossoit will start on Monday against the LA Kings, but I think that was sort of the writing was on the wall with that. I just see a head coach there who's a little bit, he says he needs more. He needs more from certain players. He was clear about that. He said that a couple times in the course of the media availability. And, the Jets do need more. They need more from – this is the time where your best players need to begin to step up. You got 8 games to go before the start of the playoffs. And the Jets are still going to be a playoff team. Let's not get – let's not lose the sight of the forest through the trees or anything like that. The Jets are still going to be a playoff team. That's not going to change anything. But the Jets need to find a way to get their best players to step up. Because in tonight's game, with the exception of the last 10 minutes of the game – the Jets' best players weren't that. The Jets' best players weren't controlling the game. The Jets' best players weren't taking advantage of the opportunities that were on their stick. The Jets' best players looked a step slow, and that is something that you just can't have right now at this time of the year, I would say, Ezzy.
No, and, I think Bones, and I think you're kind of pointing at Mark Scheifele here, right? Like, Scheifele obviously scores the goal late to the important goal to tie the game. But he wasn't very good tonight, right? I thought Nick Ehlers was fantastic.
Yeah.
I really like the Monahan to Foley Ehlers line, right? And it's unfortunate because late in that third period, Morrissey put the shot on and to Foley, the puck was there and he was just a second behind, right? And obviously Jets head coach Rick Bowness talked about, the empty net for Sean Monahan. We talked about Scheifele's chance with about 5 minutes to go in the third period when Korpisalo, I forget who he passed the puck to. I think it might've been Jacob Chychrun, maybe somebody.
Yeah, it was Chychrun Chychrun had, it was sort of in between Chychrun's skates and then Scheifele jumped on the loose puck and he almost put it in. I think Scheifele's shot was going wide. I don't know that was going to hit.
That crossed my mind as well, Drew. Yeah. Like I think at first it looked like, it was, maybe one of the best saves of all time. And on the replay, it looked like, but the reality is, it was still a good scoring chance. Right. And, we talked about it, like the Jets first period was not good. They were obviously better in the second and Brendan Dillon takes the penalty and it was a penalty. That was not a gray area or a controversial play. But then, the Senators took a penalty late in the third period as well. And then they took another one. So the Jets had a 6-on-3 in the third period to tie. So it's not like you can't say that, was an issue in this game.
No, and then you lose the faceoff clean to Claude Giroux. And I know Claude Giroux is one of the best faceoff guys around there, and there's only 6 seconds to go in the game and everything else, and it's unlikely you're going to score anyways in that circumstance. But you lose it clean, and you got to find a way. You got to find a way, and that's what the Jets right now can't find. They can't find that way. They're trying to take the easy way out in terms of finding that way. The only way you find that way is to work it, is to win every puck battle, is to punish your opponent and be harder than your opponent. And the Jets, for the lot of tonight's game, simply weren't. And you can't put out Scheifele, Connor, and Velarde anymore. You can't start with that on Monday night. I know it's Velarde's first game back and everything else, but that line, again, was awful to start the game. They were awful. You can't come back with that line again. You just can't. And I know Toffoli and Monahan and Ehlers were good, but you got to find a way to flip it around. You got to find a way to change things around, and you got to do it before it's too late. I don't like Rick Bowness's coaching job as of late, to be perfectly frank.
Why is Dylan Sandberg a healthy scratch again?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I thought Nate Schmidt was good tonight.
No, except for when it mattered. Except for when it mattered on the penalty kill. In that circumstance, and I hate to pick on a guy in that circumstance, because I know that nobody feels worse about that than Nate Schmidt, but you have to find a way to clear the zone when you have two chances there.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Iafallo has blocked that shot and sacrificed his done. Body and is barely hanging on that.
You got to get that puck out for Iafallo with anything, right? That's like you're trying to kill the penalty, but Iafallo sacrifices his body. He could barely move, right? Like he was hurting. You got
to find a way to get that puck out.
I agree with you. Like, you know, we've been talking about this for months, boys. Sorry, I'll go back to you here, Drew. But I mean, I realize that Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele love playing together, but
doesn't matter.
It's time to go Ehlers, Scheifele, Vilardi. Like, and it's not like it's just the three of us saying this or it's a few people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Jets fans everywhere want to see Ehlers on the top line. Like, I just, you know, Rick Bonus has got to just go with what works. Like, the advanced stats, the expected goals tell you, put Nick Ehlers on that top line with Scheifele and Vilardi. And don't do it for a period. Don't do it for a game. Do it for several games. Like Kyle Connor's just not getting it done right now on the top line.
No, I mean, it's time to, what did we talk about when he went away from that line? We said, okay, he knows it works. He knows that it has a lot of success. So what does that mean? It means that he can go back to it when he needs to. And he wants to go to some other, looks in the top line, in the for the second line. Fine. That makes some sense because you can't become too reliant. We said, remember, this is like 30 games ago, but we said you don't want to become too reliant or too focused on having one line for all 82 games because, as we know, injuries happen. But at this point, how do you not go with the line that was as dominant as they were with Ehlers, Scheifele, and Vilardi? You have to. You just have to. So you go back to them. And again, like I said, I actually don't know that Kyle Connor won't have success with Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli. So you're not breaking up the third line. And I think the fourth line is fine. So it's really just a function of that. You've got to just flip your wingers and see if you can do something against the LA Kings. You got to do something different. Something has to change. And you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, how many times have we said that during this stretch? I mean, look, Ezzy and I talked about this on the way home. You know, the truth is you don't have to be 10-0 to win in the Stanley Cup. To end the regular season, but you have to be better than this. And there have been some teams. In fact, it's ironic. I think it's the LA Kings who actually had a losing record, maybe 2013 as I don't remember one of the Stanley Cups, their last 10 games, they weren't that good and they got into the playoffs still. But the fact of the matter is you got to be playing better than this. You can lose games, but you know, right now the Jets aren't losing the way they need to, you know, like I said, if you lose a game and you lose it, honestly, fine. But right now this team isn't losing those games. Honestly,
there's so much that's going wrong with this Jets team right now. I can't even begin to describe it. I mean, the forward groups need to be rehashed and rejigged. You can't keep going out with the same top six at this point in time. The defense needs to be reevaluated. I mean, it's evident. You know, Dylan Samberg, for the vast majority of the season, has been your most stable and solid defenseman, or one of them. Nobody's ever said a bugaboo about Dylan Samberg.
I said it a few games ago, and I stand by it. I think Samberg is your second best defenseman after Josh Morrissey.
Yeah.
You've now healthy scratched him. How many times, Dave? Four?
At least.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't understand.
Like, don't give me this load management trying to get every... What about Colin Miller?
Right.
Why did you acquire Colin Miller on the right side?
Has he played one game?
One game. But the game against Vegas.
And he's got that big shot, like... Put him on the second power play unit.
Well, Nate Schmidt is a great dressing room guy and everything else and all that jazz and blah, blah, blah. But his performance.
Two games. Al Electric says two games.
Okay, two games. Fine. But it's not like Nate Schmidt or Neil Pionk, by the way. It's not like their performance has been so infallible that you can't put Colin Miller in there instead and see what you have. I mean, would anybody object right now? If Neil Pionk was a healthy scratch based on his performance?
No, I said that a couple games back.
I know you have.
And I hate to say it because I don't want to be saying it, but he's not playing well right now. And you have a guy like Colin Miller. Well, you have Dylan Samberg who wasn't in the... Like, again, I'm sorry. Like, Dylan Samberg being a healthy scratch wasn't the reason why the Jets lost this game.
No.
But also... I don't think Logan Stanley did much that you would say Stanley deserved to stay in the game. Like, he had one nice rush, right? I think that was in the first period. He had a decent scoring chance. I just
guys,
I don't get why Sam, like, earlier Rick Bonus said, well, we're trying to get everybody in the lineup, but like you haven't got Colin. It seems like now they're, and then, you know, the reason was Stanley played really well last game so that we have to keep him in. Like at the end of the day, guys, you put your best players on the ice that give you the best chance to win. And Dylan Sandberg is one of your best defensemen. He should not be a healthy scratch.
Like, again, Logan Stanley was fine, but you know what Logan Stanley's ceiling is. His ceiling doesn't excite anybody. It's not like his ceiling is such that anybody is going to be game planning against him. And Dylan Sandberg,
well, he is tall enough that he could actually touch the ceiling.
True enough, exactly. He could touch the ceiling, and that's very important. But Dylan Sandberg, his ceiling is way higher than Logan Stanley's.
Jeff agrees
ceiling.
With me.
Well, there
I'm not
you
the
go.
Only one.
No, because it doesn't make any. It just doesn't make any logical sense. I just don't understand the reasoning behind it, and I haven't heard one good argument, you know, both for keeping those guys in the lineup and keeping Miller out of the lineup. And that's the part that I think Rick Bonus right now is getting. I think he's locked into, I've talked about it, you know, coach brain and coach think, and how sometimes you just get so fixated on something you can't actually see what the reality of the situation is. And I think right now that's something that he may be getting a little blinded by, and he's not icing the Jets' best lineup night in and night out. Take salary out of the equation. Just take it out. Throw yeah,
exactly.
it away. You healthy.
Well, they take it out of the equation when Nate Schmidt is scratched.
Right. You healthy scratched Nate Schmidt before this year, and you were nobody said bugaboo, and you were probably justified in doing so. You're just as justified, if not more justified, in doing it for Neil Pionk. And you have Dylan Sandberg, a steadier, more solid, more impactful player positively, just sitting there languishing. And even if it means playing him on the wrong side, if you want to keep Logan Stanley in your lineup for whatever reason, you know, frankly, I'll take Dylan Sandberg on his right side over Neil Pionk right now in terms of potential impact on your team. I don't think that Sandberg is going to necessarily hurt the team, because Pionk's not even when Pionk doesn't hurt the team, he's not particularly helping the team either right now.
Right, and no one's advocating that Pionk should be a healthy scratch for the rest of the season going into the playoffs. We're talking about one game, maybe a couple games, let him, you know, recuperate, or not recuperate, maybe is the wrong word, just, you know, just have a couple games to reflect, right? And I think, you know, the bigger, you know, I agree that, you know, the lineup decisions by Rick Bonus and the coaching staff are questionable on defense. But like Dave mentioned before, now that Gabe Vilardi is back in the lineup, and obviously nobody was expecting Gabe Vilardi to score a hat trick tonight. Nobody's saying that.
Of course.
I mean, you saw, like, he drew a penalty. You know, I thought he was fine for a guy that hasn't played.
Actually, that's not true. As Mike Rieger said that.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean, Dave? Like, I mean, it's more concerning to me. Like, again, we talked about this last game, and we talked about it many times this year. The Adam Lowry line was fine. We talked about Lowry was throwing his weight around. I mean, yep. Niederreiter, Appleton, it wasn't their best game, but they did their job. There were several shifts where they cycled the puck. They were going to the net, using their physicality, everything like that. But you know, Kyle Connor's got 2 assists in his last 6 games. And again, I don't think it's all on Kyle Connor, but like, he's got to be better. Mark Scheifele's got to be better. We talked about Ehlers, Monahan, Toffoli right now. I don't even think it's close, guys, that's your top line.
Ezzie, when your top attribute... When your top attribute is scoring goals, you kind of have them. To score goals. Like, that's the whole point, right? Like, again, it's not rocket science, but Kyle Connor, what does he bring? I mean, obviously, I'm being a bit facetious. He can pass as well. We've detailed that here on this show numerous times. But right now, you've got to be contributing. And you can't, again, we know what you do defensively, so you have to focus on the offense from him. And, like, remember, what did he have when he was injured? He had, 24 goals in, 30-something games? Mm-hmm. So what does he have? 6 goals in the last 20, 30 games. Like, his numbers haven't been great for Kyle Connor. They've been fine. You know, he's over 30, but still, like I said, for the tear he was on before he got injured. And look, I'm not suggesting that the injury hasn't impacted his play to a certain degree, maybe. But right now, it's this idea that any of these guys, like, there's any sacred pigs is kind of crazy. And you know, if your whole mantra was keeping guys fresh. I know we're going to get into the Betway game recap. This has been a bit of a deviation. We'll get going on the
40-minute long preamble.
Sure, but you know, the folks were riled up. But look, at the end of the day, it's just one of those things, like, you know, the coach said, right? Oh, we want to give guys, keep guys fresh. Well, why are you keeping, like, as he said, why are you keeping Dylan Sandberg in the press box for four or five straight games?
And we've got a lot of comments up here, guys, about, you know, Logan Stanley playing well. We mentioned that earlier. He's playing well. That's not the point. If you can honestly sit there and tell me that Logan Stanley's a better defenseman than Dylan Sandberg, okay, I'll listen to that. But he's not.
Yeah.
These are two independent thoughts here, or two dependent arguments. We're not saying that Logan Stanley was bad tonight. He's playing probably the best hockey of his career, to be honest with you.
But doesn't mean that
Dylan Sandberg is your second, or at the very worst, your third best overall defenseman. That's what we're talking about here. Right. So I'm with Drew. I would rather see Logan Stanley and Dylan Sandberg playing on your offside as your third pair, or bring in Colin Miller. Like I'll repeat myself. Why did you acquire Colin Miller if you're not going to play him?
At least to see what you have. Give him more of a runway to see what you have and see if he can improve what you already know you have. Let's get to the Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. If you're going to lay a wager, maybe you should head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. No scoring in what was an atrocious first period. It was a 6-4 shots on goal. 0-0 high danger chances in the first period, which is just... Jets opened the scoring at the second period. Sorry, that was the only way I could properly.
What you're saying, Drew, is that it was Brixton's breakfast that first period.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way of putting it. Yes, indeed. Jets opened the scoring at the 158 mark. Nikolaj Ehlers, his 22nd of the year, all of them at 5-on-5, of course.
Assist Mr. to Sean expected Monahan. Goals himself, right, Drew?
Yeah. Assist to Sean Monahan, Dylan DeMello. I think that's his new career high in points. Tied his career high.
It is
okay, tied. There you go.
Tied. No, he tied. He tied.
Okay.
He tied it, but he has in one last game.
There you go. There.
Mikey McIntyre mentioned it up in the press box.
So. 74 instead of 75 games.
All he needs is 1 point in the last 8 games. He'll be good.
Yeah, there you're exactly right. And the Jets have a 1-0 lead. It's all important for the Jets because, you know, prior to this homestand, if they score first, they tend to win games. Well, that hasn't happened so much on this homestand as they've scored first a couple of those games and managed to still lose those ones. Look, it's a good forecheck. It's a nice play. It's a nice shot by Monahan when Ehlers is right in front to collect the rebound. It's what you want to see because it's not a flashy goal. It's just a goal based on hard work and effort and really winning puck battles, Ezzy, to get the early 1-0 lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about the Ehlers-Monahan to Foley line continues to be the most dangerous offensive line for the Jets, even though I'll go back to what I said before about Connor and how he has to be better. I mean, he did look very dangerous on the few power plays that the Jets had, but again, no goals to show for it. Right, guys. So, yeah, I mean, the Jets were moving the puck well on this particular play. And, you know, Nick Ehlers has great hands and it's, you know, a bit of the reversal of what we've seen lately, right? We've been seeing Sean Monahan tip in the Ehlers shots.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was a huge goal at the time, and there's a big but coming. The unfortunate part was the Ottawa Senators and Boris, don't call me Brady Tkachuk, tied it up shortly after.
Yeah, and that's just what you can't have happen in this case, Dave. You're up 1-0. You got the early lead. You're feeling good. You need to then double down on that. You need to keep your foot on it and continue to build upon it. Instead, the Jets just stop playing hockey. They just stop. I mean, you can't give up this kind of odd man rush to the Ottawa Senators. You know, a team that just shouldn't, you shouldn't put yourself into a position like this. It's a bad read by Josh Morrissey on this one. I don't like the decision to pinch in this case. Morrissey's a guy I think the Jets also need a little bit more from as of late. He's been in a little bit of some struggle since he went through that incredible heater not that long ago. But it's Boris Tkachuk, his 7th of the year, assist to Brännström and Kostelec. And, you know, on the broadcast, the TV broadcast I was watching from home, they were talking about the Sens' fourth line and how effective it had been, but this is coming against the Jets' top line. This is coming against the Jets' best five skaters, and you can't have this happen. You just can't. You have to find a way. I mean, this is a matchup you should be winning. shift in and shift out. You should be salivating if you're the Jets at having an opportunity to send out your big guns against the opponent's fourth line. And this is what happens? Inexcusable on this one.
Well, okay. But just quickly on the Morrissey comment, I would say that you maybe want to watch that last game a little more closely because he was phenomenal in the last game, played almost 30 minutes, Drew. So Josh Morrissey, again, certainly
Morrissey is phenomenal every game.
I would say that look, today though, you're right. He made a couple of bad reads that led to odd man rushes. So there's no question that I think that's kind of what Rick Bonus, and I'm not thinking he's limiting it to Josh Morrissey, but I think that's what he meant when he was talking about guys almost trying a little too hard to try and manufacture things to make things happen.
Yeah,
and I think that's,
that.
I think that's what his kind of thought process, those types of plays, because look, you're the top line and you're supposed to be feasting against the fourth line. And a fourth line is always going to bring you an honest shift. That's what we know from fourth lines. Instead, it's a 4-on-1. Like why are none of those forwards covering for Josh Morrissey when they see that he's pinching? Number one, number two, And again, I'm going to jump ahead. After you give up a 4-1 goal, Ezzy, how long was it before they gave up a 3-1, a 3-on-1 chance? Like not that short, not that long
next
after.
Shift.
That's right. So my point is, you're not even like how out of the game can you be when you give up a 4-on-1 goal? And Connor Hellebuyck, I mean, like guys, he's a 4-on-1 is practically impossible. Like he made a nice save on the 3-on-1, but the point is, like he had almost no chance. Like he tried to take the shooter, had the shooter. I mean, I would imagine he was expecting maybe the pass, but he tried to like kind of, blow his stick at it a little bit but at that point,
way
he had no
too
shot.
Slow on the back check, way too
gliding
slow.
As Murat said,
turnover 4-on-1. You should really never allow a 4-on-1 in a game period, but just way too slow. Hellebuyck has absolutely no chance on this goal. And it's so deflating because, as I mentioned, when we were talking about Ehlers' goal, right? Like there wasn't any goals in the first period. There wasn't a lot of offense. Drew mentioned it. Zero combined. I don't even remember the last time there were zero combined high danger chances. I'm not even joking. That might be the first time we've seen that. And we've been doing 74 of these games this year, guys.
Well,
so that's
doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, you usually happen. Don't see hockey that's played that terribly, but Dave's absolutely right. Like it's a bad giveaway by Scheifele. It's a bad back check. And it's just inexcusable. And, we talked about it earlier. Scheifele copped a, I marked down at least two giveaways by Scheifele that were bad. And, he's just coasting. Soft. Sorry. Yeah, he was coasting.
The plays for the Jets, again, up until they finally turned on their desperation mode, it was soft. There was a neutral zone play this one was obviously led to a goal of the Scheifele giveaway, but there was another one in the neutral zone. It didn't lead to anything, but I remember watching it at home and just saying, what is that? It would have been a soft play in rec league. In rec league, you're saying, well, what is that pass? That's not a pass. That's just sort of just dropping the puck off your stick and hoping somebody else on your team is going to get it. There was just, yeah, that's really what it is. And then Ottawa takes a 2-1 lead at the 13:25 mark of the second period. Ridly Gregg, his 12th, assist to Brady Tkachuk and Drake Batherson. And Ottawa all of a sudden has a 2-1 lead, and you're the Jets, and you're like, not what just happened, because you did it to yourself. It's self-inflicted with your poor play, Ezzy.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then this particular goal, originally I think Dave and I were watching this, and you're like, okay, it was a bad play by Neil Pionk. And then obviously you see the replay, and it goes off of Scheifele's skate. It's Brady Tkachuk who makes the pass to Ridly Gregg, but it goes off of Scheifele's skate. So, look, Ridly Gregg, everybody knows that name. First off, he was former Brandon Wheatking. We should get that in there. He's not from Manitoba. He's from Alberta, if I'm not mistaken, but he used to play for the Wheaties. But he's having a nice season, 12 goals, guys. And obviously what I was going to say is I think everybody knows where I'm going with this. Everyone kind of remembers him for his infamous slap shot into the empty net, right? And the all the madness that ensues about people talking about some code around empty net goals. But look, so I'm not taking anything away from Ridly Gregg here, but I mean, this is just a lucky bounce. Brady Tkachuk's pass goes off of Scheifele's skate. Pionk goes to swing at it, and Ridly Gregg is right there behind him, and he picks the puck up and, puts the backhander in. But it's just unacceptable, guys. When you came, we talked about the first period, the Jets were flat. And then, like Drew said, there's just no excuse why you were down 2-1 in this game. And Rick Bonus mentioned it, right? Like for all the talk about the pushback and the fact that Scheifele scores in the third period and ties the game up, and the Jets came really close, you know, to scoring the tying goal, right? Like,
should just, never come, you know, to that.
It's moral victories when you're on a six-game winless streak are not going to be, you know, accepted favorably by the coaching staff. And they shouldn't be the Jets shouldn't be happy with anything really in that game.
No, they shouldn't be. And there's no such thing as a moral victory when you lose six in a row, and especially when you lose this game to Ottawa, a team that is going nowhere and doesn't, you know, you should be blowing out this opponent or winning handily at the very least if you play with the requisite desperation. Second period comes to an end, 2-1 for the Senators at this point in time. Finally, the Jets and Rick Bowness go to the line blender, and it's taken way too long. Ehlers, Monahan, and Toffoli, this courtesy of our buddy Scott Billick, outshot or out-attempted the Senators 15-6, outshot them 11-2, and outscored them 1-0. Connor, Scheifele, Vilardi, they were out-attempted 15-11, outshot 6-2, and outscored 1-0. That's through 40 minutes. And then finally, Rick Bowness gave up on that line, and then the Jets started to show some life in the third period. And I'm not going to give the Jets a lot of credit for it or pat them on their back too hard, but they do tie it up at the 9:48 mark. Finally, it's a power play goal. You know, Scheifele, his 23rd assist to Kyle Connor and Josh Morrissey. It goes in off of the gate of Artem Zub, and yep. But it's a direct play. It's a play directly towards the net. Gabe Vilardi is there in a good position. So it's a play that happens because you do the right things and you go at a direct line towards your opponent. And the Jets have tied it up at 2 in the latter half of the third period, Dave.
Yeah, and again, the power play scores, and it's significant. Let's not minimize that, because the power play, how often have we said, as in the last 5 or 6 or 7 games, that the power play has scored? We know the answer is 1 for 21 or 1 for 22, whatever it was prior to tonight. So the power play, I understand they've only had one practice with Gabriel Vilardi back on PP1 and Tyler Toffoli on the second unit. But so there's not a lot of, you know, like I said, they're going to take some time to get that back into rhythm. And it looked like that earlier in the game on the opportunities. And even like, again, Drew, like when things aren't going well, like squandering opportunities. Sorry, I'm going to jump back quickly. Cause like even that Neil Pionk, what did he get called for, Ezzy? Do you remember in the first period where the Jets had the power play and then Neil Pionk,
slashing. What was it?
Yeah. So he takes a slashing penalty on Ridley Gregg that kind of kills.
Thank you, Drew. Cause I definitely did not remember.
Yeah. But it was only about 30 seconds left, I think, in the power play, but it's just like, it's like plays like that where it's like, why are you slashed? Like, why do you not have possession of the puck? You know, like it's sloppiness, right? And so if you're going to be on the power play, you can't really be taking penalties. And I understand you're trying to prevent a chance against. But anyways, I'll get back to the idea of this goal. It's just good positioning. And once again, we show the value of Gabriel Vilardi. And I've mentioned this today, and I thought about it yesterday after his media availability, that of all the players we hear and we've talked to in Winnipeg, and there's a lot of honest guys, but he's a guy who really, you know, reflects honestly on and assesses the game in an honest manner. So you like to see that he's, you know, kind of getting into that rhythm, and it took a little bit of time, but you know, eventually they get it, and he's in a dangerous spot, open, obviously, if he can bury it from, we know where he's so talented in tight, and you know, Mark Scheifele is able to do what he is able to do, and the Jets get an all important power play goal. And you thought, okay, here they go. They've got the power play goal. They've tied it up. You know, I thought they'd build on that momentum and continue on. And really, to be honest, I didn't think they were going to kill the Senators at this point, but I thought you're thinking like 3-2, 4-2, right, Ezzy?
And I'll just, yeah, exactly. I'll say one thing too here about Connor, because he definitely, you know, was good tonight, didn't have his best game, but he does make a pass that Claude Giroux, just watching the replay, intercepts. And then he does get the puck back from Giroux and get
won it to Scheifele.
So exactly. So I'll give Connor credit here. Mm-hmm. Again, like, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, Dave's right. He's paid to score goals. He's not scoring goals right now. He was scoring goals on that Eastern Conference road trip to begin with, but we mentioned it, 0 goals, 2 assists in 6 games, but you got to give him credit here. That was pure just second effort getting the puck to Scheifele. And Drew's right. I mean, the puck does go off of Artem Zub's skate, but you know, Scheifele has the wherewithal to put that puck on net. And you know, the power play, I thought, more, not just the goal, I misspoke earlier. I forgot that the Jets scored a power play goal. Sorry, boys. It's been a long week with the kids on spring break. Drew knows how that is. So your brain starts to turn into mush a little bit. But I think Dave's right. I mean, that was a big power play goal, and they needed that. And it's unfortunate that Brendan Dillon takes the penalty, and then, you know, we'll get into it here, the third goal by the Sens. But, like, again, the Jets had to work their buns off just to get this game tied. And you shouldn't have been in a position where you needed to tie this game up. And we talked about it. The Sens could have easily had, you know, a few more goals in this game if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuck making some big saves, right? So I did like Connor's effort on the Scheifele power play goal.
Yeah, and he does deserve credit for that one, because he did win that puck battle, which ultimately led to the puck getting into the back of the net behind Jonas Korpisalo and tying the game up at two. And then the Jets do have a number of good opportunities, and, you know, they've shuffled the lines now. So this is where you get to see the line change, and you saw there was that great play with the Ehlers with that head of speed, and yep. Scheifele with the fancy moves in tight, and Korpisalo had to make a number of nice saves. But anytime you're in a close game or a tied game with a lesser opponent, all it takes is one mistake. And the mistake in this case is Brendan Dillon taking a penalty for just being a little too physical in front of the net. It was a penalty. You can't hit a guy up high. You just can't in that. You know, the refs don't want to make that call in that circumstance, but Dillon didn't really give him any choice but to make it.
You have to call that. You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to call it. Rick Bonus said the same thing. Yeah. And Nate Schmidt has the puck on his stick twice to clear the zone, and he can't do it either time. And you just got to find a way to clear the zone, but he can't. And it ends up on Brady Tkachuk's stick. And unfortunately for Winnipeg Jets fans, it's also the Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Brady Tkachuk, with 1 minute and 45 seconds to go on the power play, is 33rd of the year, assist to Tim Stützle and Jake Sanderson, and the Senators have a 3-2 lead. Just because the Jets don't play a 60-minute effort, and they failed to clear the puck, and as it happens when you're in the doldrums, bad things continue to happen, and this one was a shot that ends up in the back of the net. You're on mute.
Yeah, sorry, I'll unmute myself. I thought Dave M might jump in there, but you're right. Nate Schmidt has two attempts to clear it, and he doesn't clear it. It goes right to Jake Sanderson. And what's unfortunate is Connor Hellebuck gets a piece of this Brady Tkachuk shot. He actually got a piece of it, and, you know, they were whipping the puck around pretty well there. But again, I mean, you know, a power play late in the game. Ottawa, and the thing with Ottawa is they might not be in a playoff spot or in the playoff race, I should say. But, you know, Dave, in a game like that, you know, you get a power play, they're going to try to win the game. Like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Not try to win the game, right?
So, let's go to overtime.
Yeah, exactly. So Nate Schmidt.
Rag the puck for 2 minutes.
I thought, generally speaking, he had a good game. That was obviously an egregious turnover. And, you know, a nice goal by Brady Tkachuk, even though, like I said, Hellebuck was in position and he almost made that save, right? So, again, guys, you've got 8 games left here to figure this out. But, you know, Huss, I'm not sure if you guys saw his tweet on X, but he was saying that he was walking out with a bunch of hardcore Jets fans and morale is low. And I understand it, guys, right? Because after that road trip, we talked about it. The Jets started off that road trip. They beat Columbus. They beat the Rangers. They're 2-0. It's looking like the Jets are going to go 5-0 on the road trip. They lose the last 3 games of the road trip, and it's an unsuccessful road trip. And now you're back at home. And now you've lost all 3 games at home, even though you got points. I mean, Vegas was the better game. I think you guys would agree with that. Yeah. You got 2 points, but you didn't get 4 points. And now you're in a position where, like Drew said, you're basically locked into third place in the division.
Yeah.
And that's not a position that you thought you would be 2 weeks ago.
No, it's not. You thought that you had a chance. You know, they were in the driver's seat to win the division, and they've fallen on hard times. And now, exactly, and like you said, more than likely they're going to be starting on the road, whether it's in Colorado or Dallas, when the playoffs begin in about 20 days' time.
So I guess we'll see you at Boston Pizza Taylor for game one, right, Drew?
Sounds like it's likely to be a Saturday. I believe the playoffs start on Saturday, April 20th.
Yes, so Mike made that declaration today on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
There you go.
Drew, that you didn't see because you were flying on an aeroplane. But Mike did say 3 weeks from today,
yes,
that the postseason begins, and the post games should be a lot more.
So, boys, are our Seders going to be done by then?
No, they'll be starting.
Passover.
I think it's like the 22nd. So we'll be right.
Yeah, it's Monday, Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. let's hope that the Jets are, I don't know when it's best, but anyway.
Pass the gefilte fish.
There you go. The Jets have been playing like some stinky gefilte fish as of late.
There we go. Anyways, I was just going to say, because Greg asked about the hoodies, and I know we're just going to wrap up, you know, Drew will do our little extra here, but just in case Greg wants to order a hoodie, like Donnie Boy ordered a hoodie. Dallas ordered a hoodie, not Donnie Boy. Dallas ordered the hoodie. So shout out to Dallas and shout out to all of you who are submitting your orders. Last day, I don't know why it said today at like whatever. I told them to change it because I don't want Rob Mahoney to call me a liar, because earlier I said today was the end of the month. It's tomorrow's the end of the month. So if you want to get your IC order in, the merch, the link is in the chat. I've already put it there. And again, go to our website, illegalcurve.com, and select merch. There's a link there. So if you want to order, it says tonight. I asked them to move that till tomorrow so we can at least have folks get those orders in by tomorrow, last day to get your IC merch like this. Or like what Drew's wearing, a t-shirt, or like the hat like Ezzy's wearing.
There you go. Great merch available. Wear it proudly if you don't even want to wear your Jets gear that
proudly. El Cheverino wants to know if I'll deliver to Malaysia. Ezzy, would you want to go to Malaysia?
I actually saw a documentary on Malaysia. It is a beautiful country.
What documentary were you watching, Ezra?
I think it was
it
was BitConned.
Oh,
with Andrew Halaiko.
Yeah, I think it was BitConned. But it's a beautiful country.
With the Tetra Tech CEO himself in the chat.
Tetra Tech CEO, yeah.
Was he in Malaysia when you were watching it?
I don't know if Andrew was in Malaysia, but I forget the why they were talking about Malaysia. Something to do with, I don't know, Bitcoin, something like that. Anyways. I don't know. Can we deliver to Malaysia? I think it would be pretty expensive, but I mean, El Cheverino that's a great name, and he's a great participant in the Illegal Curve post-game chat. So why not?
We do deliver to Birds Hill in East St. Paul. I love Birds Hill. It's one of my favorite places. Shout out to the Birds Hill. It's a good provincial park. So if you get a chance, you should go check it out.
Drove by Birds Hill on Highway 59.
There you go. See? And what I was going to say, though, to answer Greg's question, because Greg asked, he likes the hoodie, but he wanted to know if there are other colors. Yes, Greg, there's baby blue, there's navy, there's black, there's lots of different colors. So
check it out online. Go on the site. You'll find it all out. That's how you're going to do it. When we come back, we're going to look at the out-of-town scoreboard briefly. Ezzy's going to have a tough duck, hardest-hitting comment. We'll wrap up the post-game show and get you ready for Monday against the LA Kings. A late start, an 8 o'clock start for whatever reason on Monday night, so you can plan your night accordingly. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. It's Saturday night. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash.
Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy. Everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environment. Even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on the Saturday night. We're next in action Monday night. It'll be about 10:30 p.m. or so, given that weird 8 o'clock start time. Still don't quite understand why that's the case, but nobody asked me. Anyways, we will be back with the Illegal Curve post-game show on Monday night, following the Jets and the Kings. And despite the fact the Jets have lost 6 games in a row, on Monday night, with a victory and the St. Louis Blues loss to the Edmonton Oilers, the Jets could officially clinch a playoff spot. So again, the playoffs are not going to fall out of the realm of possibility. They will be a playoff team, and it can happen as early as Monday. The Blues lost on home ice tonight to the San Jose Sharks by a 4-0 score. So that's good news for the Jets on the out-of-town scoreboard. As I mentioned, the Predators lost to the Avalanche, so that was also, I guess, technically good news on the out-of-town scoreboard, and that the Jets are looking more and more likely to be locked in to that third spot in the Central Division.
Dave M. closing an IC merchandise sale. You love to see it.
There you go. There you go. That's that. Great that that Ponzi scheme is still going to continue on unabated, but we do appreciate all the support when it comes to
You don't announce something's a Ponzi scheme before it's actually concluded.
Fair enough, but we already got their money to begin with, so
no, not if they haven't ordered it.
Well, Dave Madoff.
Yeah. Dave Madoff is right.
Well, considering it's not going through us, then I don't think you have to worry.
That's true, though.
Dave Madoff with no money.
Yeah, nicely done. Good pun there. So that's the big news on the out-of-town scoreboard. Dallas in action tonight. They're in Seattle to face the Kraken. So with a win, that game is 0-0 at the first intermission. With a win, they would move 3 points up on the Dallas Stars and 9 points up on the Jets. So it's pretty clear that the Jets are likely to finish in that third spot in the Central Division. Although if the slide continues and if the Predators find their way again, then the Jets could slip down to the wild card spot. Time will tell on that front, but it's looking more and more likely that we'll be at Boston Pizza for the first game of the playoffs, likely on that Saturday, April the 20th, maybe Sunday, April the 21st. Stay tuned, and you'll find out more about our next live on location show at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue. Like I said, Monday night, it's been a busy night for Dave M. He's done double duty, so we salute Dave for his efforts this morning with Connor Rabchuk, and of course tonight on the post game show. In case you missed any of those shows, they're available on our YouTube channel, and the podcasts are always available. Be sure you're liking, subscribing, smashing buttons, telling friends, leaving feedback, all that good jazz that Dave has given the thumbs up about.
Well, no, and I was also going to say quickly, I'm not going to do a Manuk Moose Minute because I didn't extend it. Connor was asking me. It was great. Connor was asking me questions. I was answering questions. Yeah, I felt like a guest on my own show. Our own show. Sorry, Ez. I don't want to say it like that. But in that moment, it was my show because you two weren't there. But the point is, it was fantastic.
Whoa. Drew, you go to Florida. I go for one night in Lac Da Bonnie. All of a sudden, Manu calls it his show.
I know.
Wow. We know who the real prima donna is.
So anyways, the point I was going to make, though, is that we had a good interaction. We were chatting about the Moose.
Nice little communique.
I don't have an update on Brad Lambert. I was trying to schnarfle one earlier in the day The Moose are set to practice tomorrow. Then they're leaving for Abbotsford. So they're playing two quick games out in Abbotsford. They'll hopefully get closer to catching Texas. But I was just going to say, we will have tickets. They play the final four games of the season, their home games, starting with Chicago next week and then two against Iowa. We'll have tickets in the illegal curve zone to give away for that.
There you go. We have another giveaway, and that's courtesy of our friends at Grid Park, if I'm not mistaken. Dave M., tell people about the Grid Park promotion that's going on.
Well, see, I like to interject when you're doing the read, Drew, so I was going to wait till then. But, yes, we do have tickets. We don't have tickets. We have a code to give away if you want free parking. And our friend Matthew emailed me after watching this morning's show, and he inquired, and he said, and I'm going to read this because I think it's important to read. I won't reveal too much, Ezzy, about what Matthew said about how much he likes the show.
It's a 700 word email.
Yes, it details everything about the app. No, it said longtime listener here, although it doesn't necessarily get involved in social media. I'm also a longtime Grid Park user due to your recommendation. Great app, service, and so Matt was the winner of the free parking. Matt went to the game. So probably a little bit of a win to save yourself some money and courtesy of our friends at Grid Park. And we still have some home games left. So if you want tickets, if you want the code, got to send me an email and then make a convincing argument. Tell me you like the show. That always wins.
That's usually as convincing as it needs to be. Just praise us a little bit and we'll be glad to give you something nice. Speaking of giving something nice, we're going to give out a Tough Duck Toque for the hardest hitting comment.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
All right, I guess it's my time to shine, right, Drew? Because you're not...
Shine away, bro. Shine away, my diamond. Shine away.
I like it. Tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. I mean, I've got a lot of comments started here. I like this comment from Dave Johnson. I was going to ask you guys a little trivia question here. As everyone knows, I'm a Devils fan. 2000 New Jersey Devils made a
coaching change. Rolly Fedoric.
Oh, you ruined it. Who did they hire?
What's his name? Larry Robinson. Jacques Lemaire. No, wasn't it Jacques
One of you was right. Larry Robinson, the Hall of Famer, former Montreal Canadiens defenseman. But yes, it was Robbie Fedoric who was fired and who scored the game-winning goal in Game 6 against the Stars. Of course, former Illegal Curve guest, Jason Arnott. But we're not going to give tonight's hardest-hitting comment for that one, even though I liked it. Hold on, I have it queued up here. Hold on, now I'm getting excited. Wait a minute,
that wasn't the hardest hitting comment?
No, that wasn't the hardest hitting comment.
Wow.
Here we go. We're gonna give it to IC3PO. I'm not sure if that's like a legal curve, 3PO, but regardless, it's a good name. I signed up for season tickets and just emailed my rep saying I regret signing up again. It's the same issues again and again. This is Pomo 2.0 disguised with bones. Both have no accountability. Guys, I was going to say the name of the promo is Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment. And to me, that's hard hitting. Look, we were critical of Bone's decision to start Logan Stanley over Dylan Sandberg. We were also critical of his decision to start Connor Hellebuck over Lauren Brossoit, even though that was obviously Hellebuck's 500th career game. And Hellebuck was excellent tonight. So he wasn't the reason why the Jets lost this game. It was because they didn't have a very good first period. And we talked about the turnovers are absolutely killing them. So IC3PO, send an email to Ezra@illegalcurve.com with your mailing info, and Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you. Thank you very much.
There you go. That's tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Want to say thank you to everybody, to all of you for joining us both this morning and again tonight, like you do on so many Saturdays. We always appreciate the support, and I know you're all going to smash the like button and you're going to leave feedback and you're going to subscribe to the podcast and you're going to tell your friends and family and everything that I tell you to do, and then you go and do because you're all such good people. But we also want to say thank you to all of our sponsors. Dave mentioned Grid Park. We mentioned Boston Pizza will be there for game one of the playoffs, for game one road game one of the playoffs. Tough Duck, our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, they're the title sponsor here of the post game show, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and of course Farmery Beer. Thanks to all of them for their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey and all the great things that they do to make this show a possibility. In case you missed any of it, the replays on the YouTube channel, the podcast available shortly. We'll be back Monday night for the post-game show following the Jets and the Kings. LegalCurve.com, updated 24/7, 365 with all your latest Jets news and audio, Moose news and audio, and everything that you need to know about hockey here in Manitoba. Thanks to all of you for joining us. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Monday night at 10:30 p.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.